This morning, finding the courage to face your faults. Now, very, very easy for you and I to see the faults of everybody else. As a matter of fact, I had much rather look at somebody else's faults than to look at my own. That's human nature. And human nature says to us, surely to goodness, Lord, there's somebody out there that has more faults than I do. Well, you may never find them on earth, so I suggest that what you do, you focus on your faults and be careful. When you see the faults of others, many individuals will say, especially the Christians that are too big for their britches, they will say, well, that's sin. You know, that fault is a sin. So what I'm going to share with you today in focusing on the faults, you will find through God's word that faults are not necessarily sins. They are basically character weaknesses. Do you admit that you were born with a character weakness? Don't you admit that as a Christian you look in the mirror and you can see those character weaknesses in your life, not necessarily within your looks, but maybe if you've led a hard life, you can see that character weakness in what is left behind of the body or the reflection that's coming back at you. God says, I love you. And I want you to pay attention to how you are created. God created every individual special. No two will ever be alike. There's never been two that are alike. Now, do you really believe in the Big Bang theory, that out of the Big Bang theory that there's not two of anything just alike? Well, there's not even two snowflakes that are ever alike. That's God. As a big-time atheist said, without God, nothing makes any sense. And folks, without Christ in the heart of the Christian, nothing, including in this world, will ever make sense to you. Now, God leads us down paths, and those paths a lot of times have a lot of thorns in them. And those thorns are not necessarily the one you married. But those thorns are there in life. And we need to look at them and understand there's a purpose for this in God's great plan. See, don't get caught up in all your plans. Your plans don't work. If you think they do, how come it hadn't worked till right now? Your plans don't work. And it's God saying, get on the path of the plan that I've given for you and I've allowed you to be born for. And then on that path, you will see heartache, you will see hurt, you will see brokenness, and you will see death. Maybe that's the reason a lot of Christians refuse to look. Well, what if? I don't have to deal in what ifs in my life because I know I've been saved by Jesus Christ. I not only believe what the Word of God says, I know that the Word of God is true. And God says, well, as I raise you up in me, I want the me that's in you for the world to see. So share me with the world. Well, we've shared ourselves with the world a lot, haven't we? Think about sharing Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13 Verse 5, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. Well, that's pretty straightforward, right? Surely I know that Christ is among us. Sure I do. Christians need to understand that Christ is real. This is not a story. This is a fact of life, fact of your life, a fact of my life. And that fact is that Jesus Christ is alive and he's doing quite well and he's waiting for us to show us all the love and all the greatness of what he went to prepare for us. But you can't leave yet, Larry. I got work for you to do. And then he calls your name and each other's name. Says, you'll come when I'm ready. Finish what I've called you to do. It's the finishing that so many Christians have a hard time doing. We get fired up and get excited, especially when we've just been saved, and all the excitement pretty soon is drained from us, normally by fellow Christians. As those fellow Christians says, oh, that's okay, they'll calm down pretty soon. I did. I hope you never calm down. Christ is alive, folks. So what do? Instead, and this is very common for us, instead of denying or being defensive or blaming others, you know, I'm so glad that nobody in Washington, D.C. ever blames anybody else. I mean, we live in a generation of blame, blame, blame. Blaming everyone else for our hurt. Blaming everyone else or every situation for our failures. I cannot blame anyone, anything, any situation. Folks, I am so proud to be a Christian. I'm so excited about what eternity is offering. Now, I'll admit some days I'm not so excited about those days. Nor am I excited about some that I know that I have to deal with. I suppose that's a flaw, a fault, not necessarily a sin. Action number one. I want us to focus on two actions. Then the third action is what God will do for us if we focus on these two. Action number one. Recognize your faults. Recognize your faults. Let me put the emphasis on your faults. Now, I have to read this, and I know it will please my wife and a lot of other folk in here when you hear this story. The individual went to the doctor, the man, and he said, Doctor, my wife has a major fault. She never listens to me. She never answers. Really? How old is she? Oh, she's like 60. Yeah, that. Maybe her hearing is going. Maybe the reason she's not answering you is not a fault. Maybe she doesn't hear well. Well, I never thought of that. Maybe she is going deaf. What do I do? Here's the test. You just walk in the kitchen, and in a normal tone of voice, you ask her a question. If she doesn't answer, take two steps forward and ask her in the same amount of decibel. Don't raise or lower your decibel level. Just ask her the same question. If she still doesn't answer, then you take two more steps and you ask her again in the same level. Then let me know the proximity distance when she finally answers you. And then tell me what it is so I can discover the severity of her hearing loss. So he goes home. She's cooking something in the kitchen. He stands by the door and says, Mary, what's for dinner? She just keeps chopping carrots. Two steps forward. Mary, what's for dinner? She just keeps cutting the carrots. Mary, what's for dinner? Finally, he goes right next to her. Mary, what's for dinner? She looks up and says, for the fourth time, beef stew. Well, I can hear. I just don't understand a lot of times what people are talking about. So it's not a part of my hearing. It's my understanding. And sometimes I just don't want to hear. You ever been there? I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it. So what are we going to do? Recognize your faults. John 9, verses 40 and 41. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked. Now let me back up on the story of that. Here Jesus comes into town, and there's this blind individual that was blind from birth. And this individual who was blind from birth said that I want to see. And so Jesus gives him his sight. And then the Pharisees get all upset and all, by what name did he give you the sight? And then they start questioning the guy that was sitting by the roadside and saying, well, how did he do it? And the great part about that is this individual, that this a beggar that was blind, he looks at all the leaders of the Pharisees and he says, don't you all know by what authority he did it? I've been blind from birth. This man comes over and he tells me to be healed and I can now see. And you teachers of the law don't know how he did it? So the mockery was on. The Pharisees were extremely angry again and again and again with Jesus. And finally, Jesus knew what they had done to him, so Jesus goes to the one who had been healed blind from birth. And Jesus says, who do you believe? And he said, do you believe the one who heals you? And he said, I want to believe, sir. Who is he? And Jesus says, I am he. And the scripture says that he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. Can't you imagine his witness from that point? You all have all the knowledge of the Word of God, yet you don't know God. You see, flaws are one thing. Direct sins another. Where we turn our back on the truth of God and refuse to preach the truth. So in John 9, 40 through 41, Jesus had looked at the Pharisees and he said, those who are blind don't know any better. Now listen to what he says here. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him saying this and asked, what? Are we blind too? But here's the power statement. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. The reason for Jesus' coming was for salvation. But folks, what you and I need to understand, when Jesus came to save us, within us being saved, Jesus also brought into the world as a result of salvation, he brought into the world condemnation. Condemnation on those who will not freely take of the love of Jesus. Time and time again, folks, we're listening to people who profess to be Christians, and yet they bring in every kind of foreign doctrine within the church that can possibly be brought in just to appease the feelings of someone. God is not in the appeasing business. He is in the loving business. And you got to picture this. God says, here's my love. Here's proof of my love. I sent you my son. I loved you so much. Can you imagine the condemnation against one who rejects such love? God says, when you stand before me, you'll stand before me without excuse. Because I will have revealed myself to you. You won't stand there with an excuse and say, well, so-and-so didn't tell me. God said, I already told you. And you know, recognize your faults. Condemnation can only be for those who do not believe. The love is still there. Now, you don't miss that fact. The love is still there for his creation. Even those who do not believe, but he will not force us to believe in him, nor will he force us to follow him. He does not force me to pray so many times a day. He does not force me to go where he leads. He says, here's the place, and with excitement and the love that you will have and I will have for him, we want to go. We want to be in his presence. Action number two. Emphasize his lead. Now, this is what we're going to do to work on those character weaknesses. Emphasize his lead. To do that is uncommon courage. It's a fact. Emphasize his lead. Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Many people will become a Christian and they say, I'm going to heaven. I can sit back and say, whoo, I'm glad to be here. I'm going to heaven. Salvation was not given me through Jesus Christ for my leisure. Jesus didn't say, okay, I'm going to save you for your leisure. Now that you're saved, sit back and be merry and all of this. No. He saved me so that I would be in his likeness. I don't save you for leisure. I save you to be like me. And so you will grow throughout your whole life, learning more and more about the word of Christ and how the Lord wants us to go within this world and how he wants us to walk. I do not have a right to sit back and say, I'm going to heaven, or I can retire now. And I can go, you know, really enjoy my retirement. My retirement is out of this world. And the federal government has no stake in it whatsoever. That retirement won't be gone. It won't be lessened. It'll only grow. A retirement of pure love. But greater thinking of retirements. As Randy was saying, Jesus went back to heaven for a purpose, and he said, I'm going back, and I'm going to build a place for you. Now, exactly what that means, I don't have any idea, except for the fact that I got a place in heaven. And when you say yes to Christ, that place is guaranteed. Action number three, this is the action of God. When you and I fulfill actions number one and two, then this is God's action. It's what God will do if we act on the first two. God will maximize your obedience. Folks, it's hard for us to listen to other people, especially when they give us advice. It's hard for us to listen to ourselves when we give ourselves advice. So it is extremely difficult for us to listen to the voice of Christ within our heart. Hard, difficult, and we have a lot of flaws within our life, and we know that. And in those flaws, we find all the faults, but the faults are, again, handed over to who Jesus is. Look at Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Here's God's promise. I'll have it on the screen there. When you recognize your faults and emphasize his lead, God will maximize your obedience, converting a fault into an asset and a weakness into strength. I remember years ago, I think it's David Rang. David Rang had, I believe, a cerebral palsy, and it's very difficult to understand him. And he was called to preach, and everyone told David, you can't be called to preach. They can't even understand what you're saying. And David Rang followed the lead of Christ. Now, here's what would get you. When we went at revival, he was around here in revival several times. You'd go to revival, and it was difficult for you to catch on to his speech pattern. Extremely difficult. Let me tell you something, folks. That was some awesome preaching from a man who everyone said, you can't do that, to a spirit of a man who said, God has called me. And he always talked about his mama. My mama would say, what a powerful man of God he became. Why? He would not allow a flaw or a fault to hold him back from a call from God. Now, every one of us who went to those revivals, we strained the first time to understand. We caught the pattern and we were ready to go with him the rest of the time. Only by the power of the Spirit of God can that happen. Only as a Christian can you recognize it. But folks, you could recognize Christ, but those that were there that were lost, they accepted Christ. So many accepted Christ. And I wondered, how in the world did they understand him? I'm a Christian and I focused hard on listening. How did they understand him? Same way we did that were there. Holy Spirit power. It was Jesus. See, Jesus is not just a name. Jesus Christ is who he says he is. The Son of the living God, God incarnate. God says, I love you. And the invitation is, I see your faults. That's not your problem. I want you to see them and to grow after you see them with your faults. Jesus says, if you'll come, I will recognize you from this point on as being my child. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation, for your love. Father, we thank you that as you look at the flaws and all the weaknesses of our life, and Father, as we pay attention to those faults, that we don't allow them to become sin. Touch our life. Touch each of us that we might touch others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.